to get yourself the job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. And thank you for just taking the time in the middle of whatever is going on in your world to be here with us. This show was created for you. It's about you. It's here to empower you to live a life you love, not just get the job, but to connect to your greater purpose. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today with our guest, Brandon Maslin, who I'll introduce you to here in one moment. Before I do that, I want to thank the people who make today's show possible. That's the folks over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, so please do keep them in mind for all of your recruitment needs. And as I mentioned, I have a guest here who is not a first-time guest. He actually was one of the inaugural guests on the show. I think it was back in 2016. And if you want to have a giggle and a laugh and enjoy some really, really great feedback on how to be effective at networking, I definitely recommend going back and checking out the episode that Brandon Maslin and I did back in, I think it was August of 2016. And in that time, my gosh, Brandon has grown a lot. We actually both kind of connected with one another in the recruitment field through a mutual friend of ours around that time. And from there, Brandon has just grown exponentially. He has his own coaching practice. He's spoken at many events around the world. He is a powerhouse human being and somebody I'm lucky enough to call a friend. So thanks so much for joining us, Brandon.
Thank you, Jen, and definitely an amazing friend you've been over the years. One of the first people I confided in when I was transitioning out of recruiting to the field of coaching, and one of the great inspirations for why I've done this. And I think that's one of the gifts great leaders, which you are, can do for people, is they can inspire someone. And in that inspiration, if they do it correctly, that person is inspired to do that for others and pay it forward and forward. Another thing I love is that you're not a leader until you make another leader. And I think you've made a lot of leaders in the world. So I just want to acknowledge you for that.
Thank you so much, Brandon. It's so funny that we weren't even talking about this before the show, but in next week, I'm doing a talk at the Association of Legal Administrators Conference called Leadership is the New Normal. And I actually, ironically, you and I are always simpatico, my friend, because I start off the talk with the definition of leadership. And part of that definition is that a leader is someone who has followers and then inspires those followers to take action. So I love that we're already in synchronicity here.
I love it. We always are, you and I. And funny enough, met you while I was working for the sponsor of your show. Who would have thought? That full circle come together.
I know. How crazy is that? Just like life's little miracles, even like our mutual friend who is now one of my best friends. Oh my gosh, that's right. It wasn't you introduced me to Vasily.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Because it's been probably what, 8 years or so now, at least, that we've known.
Yeah. Him? Yeah. 2000, probably 13 or 14. Yeah.
Wow, where did the time, but it's so perfect. And we both do know each other so well, because this is the great thing when you connect with other leaders and you surround yourself with people who can help you to up-level your vibration. As I got a call one day from Brandon who said, Jen, you're going to meet somebody who's going to be your new best friend. And sure enough, I was reticent to meet her because she was at a law firm that had high turnover that I did not want to recruit for. And she, to this day, is one of my best friends, thanks to Brandon's gracious connection, just intuitive knowing. I think that's what makes you so successful, Brandon, as a coach, as a leader, and as a speaker, is that when you're a recruiter, you have to really tap into that intuitive knowing. Does person A, is that person going to fit here? And then what I really love about you, though, in particular, Brandon, is that you started off as an attorney. And so because you began your career as an attorney, you've really married the analytical mind with the intuitive mind and the heart, which is just what makes you an unstoppable power force.
I love that. I need to take notes on my website. Put that. That's perfect. Thank you. I wish we were recording this. I could capture it. Oh.
I know, right? Wouldn't that be amazing? Thank God for technology.
I love it.
And, you know, it's so perfect because today, Brandon and I were talking a little bit offline and we said, what would we like to do today's show on? Brandon and I actually just recorded another episode on my Metaphysics Go on Awake TV, which is really so much fun. I would highly recommend checking that one out too. And Brendan and I were kind of shooting the crap and just saying, hey, what do we want to do a show on? And something that came to the forefront of our minds was this idea of how do we unblock ourselves? There are so many blocks, physical blocks and metaphysical blocks right now in the world. Physical blocks being that we can't physically see people or even go in for interviews right now. Metaphysical blocks, meaning the things that we didn't even realize that are there that are being illuminated by society in all areas. And, you know, one of the things that we were, can I share, Brandon, kind of what happened before we came on air?
100%, please.
Okay. So it was funny, Brandon and I were talking, and he's like, Jen, he's like, you know, I'm like, I'm normally your guy, I got this. He's like, but I'm having a little bit of an off day. And I was like, Brandon, this is perfect. Like for me, anytime I know I'm going to give a talk or do a show, whatever I'm going to speak about, whether it's leadership or being unblocked, I get confronted by whatever that thing is to be sure that I can authentically talk about it. So Brandon and I were both kind of having a little laugh offline that we both got totally blocked. I got blocked, he got blocked, because that's the only way that you can really speak authentically about something is if you've been through that experience. Otherwise, you're just blowing smoke up somebody's bum.
That's beautifully said. I was talking to a professor the other day that I really like, and he was saying that what makes him unique as a professor is a lot of the people in his department, they all do this research. But one of the reasons he is such a great professor, what he does and has so many students who love him, is what he does is research. And he uses himself as an example. And another thing that makes me think about is I was at an event one time, and it was the room of experts, whatever they were, the world's foremost expert on public speaking, the world's foremost expert on social media. And the question was asked of the room, so who in this room teaches the lesson they needed to learn most for themselves? And every hand went up. Who continues to teach a lesson they need to learn most for themselves? And every hand went up again. And I love that. That was one of the most inspiring moments I've ever had. I was in the Bay Area when I first moved up here. And it was this moment of, oh my God, that's why they're experts. They're experts because they're constantly learning, constantly growing, constantly going to that place of discomfort that where growth actually happens. And a lot of us don't want to feel uncomfortable. That's what we were talking about. They go, Jen, I wanted to come in here and just blaze through. Here's how you unblock. And from the second I woke up today, just block after block. I have a great thought partner that says this, though. To your point, careful what you wish for. Because if you're trying to engage in that thing, the world's going to find a way to give you as much of that thing that you're trying to get through as possible because you're asking for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're thinking about, if you're like, oh, I'm going to go buy a blue Volvo. You've never seen a blue Volvo on the street before, perhaps. And then you see 100 blue Volvos that day because blue Volvo is in your consciousness. It's now in your purview. Just like COVID, unfortunately, one of the things that I struggled with when all this began to happen is that I'm a proponent of the study of consciousness, neuroscience, quantum physics. And they say that whatever we're focusing on is going to get more of that attention. And so one of the early things I was interested in seeing if we could do, which was a failure, epic failure, by the way, was what if we could stop using the word, you know, virus? Or, you know, another friend of mine, there was a karuna. I think the word karuna means compassion. And so she said, what if we could say karuna instead of the other word? But, you know, the best laid plans, sometimes they don't go that way. But when you start talking about it, then you start seeing it. And it's only then, though, that you can begin to unblock yourself, because until that point, it's a blind spot. It's this thing that you might not even realize. If you don't know what you're blocked by, you'll never be able to do anything about it. And I wanted to throw it to you, Brandon, because I know you had some beautiful definitions, you know, about what it actually means to be blocked versus unblocked.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, as a true recovering lawyer, I looked up the definitions. One thing I wanted to talk about one second before that was when I engaged in the field of feminism and worked at a feminist organization, it created a lot of triggers for me, what I look like, who I am. And I got to a point where I said, I don't want to be a feminist anymore. I want to be a humanist. So I was trying to create that word. Because I thought at the base level, if you're not a feminist, to me, you're barely human. Because you don't think people are equal. And a good friend of mine who happened to be Black said to me, Brandon, you can't do that. You can't do that, dude. Labels matter. If you're going to do this work, you're going to have to call yourself a feminist. Because if you don't, it's like saying all lives matter. Duh. Oh. Also, Black Lives Matter. Also, being a feminist is necessary. So don't do that. Either don't do the work or accept the label. And that changed my life. I fully invested. I'll be a feminist till the day I die. And, you know, the universe gave me a daughter and all these other things I made sure. But I think about those labels that we put on our flags. I think about the power of the words Black Lives Matter or the derogatory terms. And I think definitions matter more than ever. They matter. Owning who we are and how we define ourselves matters. Acceptance matters. Equality matters. And I hope everyone has a friend as good as mine who can calm you out once in your life and realize you have a block where you're not owning the thing that you are because of some fear of judgment or whatever it was back in, going back many years now, but still one of the best lessons I ever got. Labels matter. And if you're going to be something, call yourself that thing or don't do it at all. So proud feminist. So let's see, labels. Yeah, the recovering warrior in me loves a good definition. Let's see. Obstructed or congested so as to make movement or flow difficult or impossible. I'm going to say it again because I stuttered. Blocked. Obstructed or congested so as to make flow difficult or impossible. And I love that word flow. It's such a coachy term. And here's the other part of it that I love. Prevention from being accessed or used. God, that's good. You got something, you want to use it, you can't access it. Oh, unblocked. Remove an obstruction from, and you and I were geeking on this before, restore access to or the use of. God, I love that word, access. Best lesson I ever learned in law school, called a car, not an automobile, takes less letters, says the same darn thing. And so I love access on unblock. I love flow. Unblock the obstruction. Oh, and I love that definition because when I think of unblocked, it's two things, right? When I think of blocked, really, it's two things. There are real blocks. We are seeing them societally more than ever. There is systemic racism in this society that blocks people of color from rising. There is systemic bigotry, systemic unconscious bias, even when people aren't even aware of what they're doing to other people, that exists and is 100% real, that we are now calling into awareness so we can get rid of it. And then there is the perceived blocks. And those are really, as a good coach and a good recruiter and what you do, those are where we can really do something. Because the perceived blocks are how our blocks we put on ourselves. The roadblocks they put in front of us and they say, I'm not this, or I'll never be that, or I can never do this. And usually, God help us, those blocks start when we're young and they just get worse and worse and worse until we're stuck. We're stuck. And so blocks are so important to understand because there are real blocks that exist in this world and there's the perceived ones. We can't do much with these real, or we can, but it takes a long time and a collective force. But these perceived, we can remove so you can be a force to remove those real blocks as well. So that's why I love definitions. So where do you want to begin? Block or unblock? You tell me, my friend.
You know what's really present for me, Brandon? And I love what you shared earlier on, because I think the quickest way for us to unblock our perceived blocks is to communicate them, to verbalize them, and to say that they are there. For me, I was completely blocked earlier. We all have this voice inside of our head, and sometimes that voice does not have the kindest things to say. I don't know what your voice sounds like, but my voice kind of sounds like, you suck, you're a failure, you'll never amount to anything. Other people who are at your age are doing more and are more successful. And it sounds asinine to even begin to compare ourselves. There is no power in comparison. But the moment you listen to that voice and you allow it to say the thing it's saying more than once, you just handed the power over to that voice. And so I would love to talk to you about, how do we notice our perceived blocks? Like you said, the real blocks are really there. Unfortunately, to go back to the Black Lives Matter thing, there is a real legitimate block in that people who are, you know, Black, and if they have a name that sounds Black, as people have done studies, that they're less likely to be brought in for an interview time and time again, or to be called back. And I've seen that with close friends of mine. And it's unfortunate that that happened. So that's a real block. But then let's talk about perceived block. What's a perceived block that somebody might experience in a job hunt that is something that you can control? Because that's what we're interested in getting into today. What are the things that we can control right here, right now, as well as the bigger picture, real things we want to impact long term?
Well, Jen, you mentioned in the beginning, and I'm wondering if your voice is actually my voice or if you're the same voice, because my voice has all those things and then some. And I think a lot of do, and I think a lot of our voices do. So one thing that our blocks can show up for, and this is where they get really dangerous, is even lying to ourselves about what we want to be. Forget before we get to the interview. We've already lied to ourselves before we walk in the door. Mm-hmm. And so I think, to your point, the most important thing is you got to get aware of where the blocks are. Can't remove a block if you don't know where it is. Mm-hmm. My father, thank God he's okay, but he just got diagnosed with a blockage in his heart. And it's a 50% block. They're going to treat it. It's going to be okay. And he called me and he said, this is a bad day. And I responded, this is a good day. That block was there. Now we can treat it. Thank God, most of my friends who have older parents found out they had an artery block after the heart attack. Mm-hmm. What a gift to find out before. Mm-hmm. And so the point is, you want to be aware of where your blocks are. And the reason it's almost so important is a lot of times you need to know it before you even walk in the door. And so that goes into two factors. One, what do you do with your life? You mentioned on earlier life's purpose. How it shows up in interviews. I used to be a recruiter too. Oh my God. Someone goes in and they just go, tell me about your last job. And then 45 minutes later, they're still talking about all the horrible things that happened at the last job. They want this new person to know about all the horrible things that happened. It's one of the other things. It's one of the main things I work on with a client, because we'll talk to my theory of getting a job and as we go on here. My theory of not getting the job is tell them all the reasons you hated the last one. The other thing that I see as that block that people do, especially in interviews, is they're not themselves, which is my theory of getting the job. They come in and they present an impression of what they think people want to see because they're blocking themselves from who they actually are. Mm. I never understand that. I never, in hindsight, understand why would you want to interview and pretend to be something when you know you cannot keep up that illusion over time? And that's a block to be unaware of what your authentic self is. Sometimes because we are afraid that our real selves, to your point earlier of our voices, are going to be the dumb ones, the ones who no one likes, the ones who... So we actually block ourselves from accepting what's good about ourselves, and we access all that bad. So that's... I went really meta on you, but that's my long answer to a short question.
It's perfect, Brandon. I'm so happy you brought that up, because there was somebody I was giving some feedback to who was going in for an interview, and she had been through kind of a crappy experience. She had been laid off while on maternity leave, which is kind of a messed up thing to begin with. That's a judgment. I get it. Okay, filter. I'm self-editing as I say this stuff. But what happened is, you know, when I first asked her, why did you leave your last job? There was hesitancy. Like you said, she wasn't being her authentic self. And I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to hit rewind and I'm going to hold the trash. And this was a technique I learned from Alison Armstrong a long time ago. And she said, if you have something in your space, you need to get it out of your space with someone so it doesn't show up in the space that you're in. That could be on a date. That could be on an interview. That could be in a business meeting. Most of us don't realize we're like the woman from The Labyrinth. I might be dating myself now from the 1980s. Do you remember that movie, Brandon?
Who does? I mean, well, who doesn't from our generation?
Yeah.
Which seems like it could be a travesty, but keep going.
Yeah, so remember the lady who is like carrying around like every possession she's ever had on top of her as she goes around in the movie The Labyrinth, and she's trying to get people to remember the past. And I feel like that's us in life, is we're carrying with us. We're literally burdened down. And we don't realize that all of this stuff is in not only our space, but it's now in somebody else's space. So something you could do that you don't realize, this little doll from your childhood that somebody stole from you is now showing up in your interview or in your business leadership meeting or your ask for a promotion. What you can do then is to dump the trash. So you could ask a friend to hold the trash for you and you just get it out. It might take 5 minutes, 10 minutes. That's what coaches are amazing for. I'm a huge advocate of coaches because they're not even going to judge you. They're just going to sit there and they are designed and trained to be able to physically hold the space for you to drop off that little, you know, baby doll that's still attached to you because somebody stole it from you in the third grade and all the other people who have fired you or not recognized you. Get that crap out of your space. Otherwise, it will be between you and the person you're interviewing with.
Beautiful. I love that idea that, right, you leave the room and you've left all this garbage in the room. And it smells and it's, and you're going to leave that person with that feeling when really that's maybe not who you are and your past. You know, one of the best things I learned, and God, I wish I knew, I love what I do now. So it's good. I would have made a lot more money as a recruiter if I would have known this simple truth I know in coaching. It is not about what you have done. It is about what you're going to do next. That's going to get you the big job. Now the idea, I coach a lot of senior leaders and I coach a lot of, you know, I figured this out today. I coach a lot of senior leaders, VPs or above, and I coach a lot of 20 to 30 somethings at that pivot moment, that moment that they're pivoting in their life, that next thing. If you want to get the exact same job somewhere else, great, talk about your past. But if you want to level up in any way, talk about what you're going to do next. And so I love that idea, though, right, when you dump all your garbage, you go, wait, you don't like how it smells either? For some reason, I have this idea, you're right. If a recruiting is like a race, right? We put in 10 candidates and you decided to strap on a 100-pound backpack right before you walked in, don't wonder why you didn't win the race. You strapped on a backpack that you didn't unload it on your coach, unload it on your friends. I used to say to people as a lawyer,
be sure you have permission. Let me just stop there. I want to make sure to say one thing because there's also dumping without permission because sometimes just like the job interviewer doesn't have the space or your boss doesn't have
that's the
space.
True. Sure.
You always want to make sure that somebody has the space to be able to receive what you're about to say to them and can help you unload it. Otherwise, you're going to create more crap between you and that new person.
I will say in the new reality we're living in with all the crafts, all the trauma circulating in the real world and my desire to be present as a great husband to my wife, father to my daughter, I actually don't have that much space for my friends. I used to be the trash collector for my friends. I don't have that for them. I will be there to help them move forward, but I can't be the person you just dump on. It's been a hard shift. I think for a lot of my friends, I think I've lost a few. And the ones I've reconnected with, I have a brighter friendship with. So it's good. I think I always, I'll process that later when we're not on air. As far as the what can you do, I loved what you point out. Don't just dump your stuff. But I do want to share one story because I thought about it as we're heading into today's talk. And it's my favorite way of me getting unblocked and also for your listeners, maybe not to be followed to the exact descriptor. But when I was interviewing for my first ever job in Los Angeles, I was interviewing to be a lawyer. And I had applied to a few other jobs. I tried to work at Lululemon. And for some reason, they didn't want a non-flexible former lawyer to work in their store. I couldn't figure it out. And I couldn't really get hired in LA. And it was wonderful because no one actually had a job, or they did, but they called themselves an entertainment. And so it was a great place to be unemployed, but I wanted to get a job. And the only thing I knew how to do was be a lawyer. And so I was going, I'd relinquished, I was sitting in a chair and I was looking at the Hollywood sign. And I look out from the chair and I see the Hollywood sign in the distance. And I think to myself, as they're walking in to interview me for this job, I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. I've done it for, I didn't move across the country to do what I did. I want to be something not else. But I lied. I lied for the first 15 minutes of the seminar. And then finally she goes, what do you like about being a lawyer? And at that time, I didn't know any happy lawyers. And I finally said, nothing. And I unloaded all of my garbage, why I didn't like being a lawyer, why it wasn't right for me, why I got pushed into it when I was like 17. I'm a third generation lawyer. I know plenty of happy lawyers. I've placed plenty of happy lawyers. I coached plenty of happy lawyers. I was not. And I went, and she goes, well, what do you want to do? And I go, I have no idea, but I will tell you this. I don't want to do that anymore. And she goes, great to meet you, and shook my hand. And at that time, she was training someone who became my colleague later. And he turned to her and goes, worst interview ever, right? And she said to him, you know what? I had a lot of fun. I've never seen that before. But she said to him, but I bet you remember that guy. At the end of this week, you'll see 20 interviews. How many do you remember? And he goes, yeah, for the wrong reasons. 6 months later, she called me. She said, Brandon, I have a question for you. Do you still not want to be a lawyer? And I said, I was desperate for a job at this point. So I almost said yes. And in that moment, I said, I still don't think so. No. I said, great. Have you thought about being a recruiter? And I said, I have not, but I will. And I called a few friends who were. They were happy. They made the switch from law. And that's the end of my story. My point is, not a way to interview for any of your people who are listening, and you should not go in for the job you're going in for. You should figure that stuff out before you go in that you don't want to do that thing. But in my case, getting unblocked in that moment is what got me my first job in LA, which was how I know you, which formulated all of what I do, informs all my ability. I've helped hundreds of people get their dream jobs. And it's all because I had the courage to sit in a room one day, look out into the distance, go, I don't want to do this anymore. And not even have the answer to what I wanted to do next. Sometimes it's about letting down, putting that garbage down, putting that backpack down. You don't need to necessarily know where you're going, but you do need to unblock first.
I have chills, Brandon. I'm sure our listeners do too. I mean, that's it. That's the thing. That is the it thing. Today, I was listening to a podcast called Weekly Energy Boost that I love, and they were talking about how do we have certainty? How do we have certainty without logic? In that moment, you might not even been aware, but you had certainty. You knew that being a lawyer wasn't for you. And I guarantee you, that what resonated with that woman and what had you get hired 6 months later was authenticity. It's about just being yourself. I spent the first 25, 31, 34 years of my life, if I'm being really authentic, you know, just trying to please other people, trying to fit the mold. And when I'm not in my highest and best state, I revert back to the pretend Jen. It's so funny. I even get this voice that my vocal coach it's like nails on a chalkboard. I do this presenter voice, and my presenter voice is soft, and it's not me at all. And he's like, Jen, cut that crap out. That's not who you are. Be you. It's okay to, you know, be loving and be kind and have a space for people and to use your voice and to own it. And that is the point of all of this right now, Brandon. Use your voice. Use your voice. Speak up. Speak your truth. That is why we are seeing monumental historical change in the world, because it's not just Brandon Maslin or Jennifer Hill. It is millions, billions of people around the world discovering their truth and their voice and speaking their truth, using their voice with their full power, not using the presenter, that fake voice that's filled with the garbage and trash of the past, but saying, I have a voice, hear my voice, and this is my truth. And I think that's why so many people I've spoken with in the last even 3 weeks, but the last 3 months, are completely planning to pivot their careers to an entirely new career because it feels trite. I actually struggled, if I'm being really straight, Brandon, I struggled to host this job or host this show a couple of times in the last 3 months because it felt trite. Mm-hmm. It felt trite with everything going on in the world that how can I make a difference for all these people whose voices are unheard? How can I help the hundreds of thousands or the million people who have gotten ill or died? And it didn't feel like enough. And I had to reconnect to my own voice and truth, which is that every time I speak to somebody and do an interview, I'm making the difference that I can make most difference, which is using my voice, which is my gift. And we all have that gift, though. We just need to tap into it.
And you don't know who you're going to inspire to use their voice, or we don't know if someone's going to listen to any of these shows and that wants to do something in social justice or do something to make a difference in the world. All you can do is help the way you can help. And our mission, I believe, in life is to understand what is the gift that we have, whatever that is, and use it. And if I'm being honest, to use it for collective good. You know, yeah. To use it for the collective. To use it for yourself is selfish. To use it for the collective is selfless. And the truth is, it's probably one of the most selfish things you can do. Because when you do it, I promise you get and you get and you get and you get and then get. because the more you give to a cause or something bigger than yourself in whatever way you can, the more you will get in return. And people who don't get can't ever understand that. Or they get all the money in the world and can't understand why they're so unhappy. It's simple. You never give to anything but yourself. You'll never get anything but yourself. And so there's a lot of truth to that. I loved what you said in the beginning too about using, it's interesting thing about the protesters. Well, we'll listen to you if you're not so angry. You're listening to them because they are angry. They're angry. They've been angry forever, for hundreds of years. This has been going on systematically. I'm sorry. Is this uncomfortable for you? Try living this. I posted something. It's not my place. There's a lot of things that I'm constantly aware of, not my place to talk about. One of the things that I've been doing a lot of lately is understanding this idea of privilege. And one of the things I did post that resonated for me was it is a privilege to have to learn about racism rather than experience it.
Oh.
That is a privilege. And it's that learning. I'm listening. I'll speak when I feel it's relevant. But in the meantime, I want to speak to privilege because it's something that is present so much in society and it shouldn't be. Privilege is something that everyone should have. So I think that's where we're going to go today. back to finding people on job. No, okay.
I mean, and again, it's morphed into so much more than that. That's why I said a few weeks ago, it felt trite coming on here. And I even felt trite with the way I used to open the show. Happy Monday, everybody. I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of people out there right now who are not happy. And there always were. And I was in my little fairy dust bubble, not aware of the fact that, yes, I can say, hey, guys, let's have a great day. But saying Happy Monday just lost its panache for me because I was like, that's just not my truth anymore. It's that I actually I feel differently, that there's something else that needs to be said and that there's a different space. We all have this space. And I feel like the space of the world, you know, Roger Nelson, who is the founder of the Global Consciousness Project, I had the opportunity to interview him on Awake TV for my Conversations for Consciousness show. And in it, we talked about the noosphere. And the noosphere is essentially this idea, for those of you who might not be aware of it, that there is a sheath of consciousness around the planet. And I think now we can almost reach out and touch that sheath. We can see it. It's visceral. We can feel it. And this is the time. Okay, so what Brandon Maslin and I are talking about right here, right now on this show, may be having an impact thousands of miles away, or who knows, 10 years from now or 20 years from now, but it's all part of the consciousness. And we all, you know, I love this concept too, Brandon, of the holographic universe. We are all just a reflection of the greater whole. We are all one. We are all the same. I mean, there's too much to get into in this show on it, but, you know, let's be aware of what we're putting out there. And that's how we can begin to, number one, notice our
bodies.
You know, number one, notice where we're blocked. And then number two, to unblock yourself, work on those things that you're not committed to in your life and ask yourself, what am I putting into the field of consciousness? What am I adding to that sheath of consciousness that is surrounding to the planet? What am I adding to the vibration? If you're angry, be angry, own that passion and move through it, but don't resist it. Own whatever that is you're feeling, because that's how we get blocked. We pretend we're not angry, or we pretend that we're happy, you know, but you have to own whatever it is, angry, sad, happy, glad, whatever it is, feel it.
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things that was really resonating for me on the idea of that block, is that it's not the singular aggression that makes us boil over. It's all the microaggressions that come along the way. It's never, you know, if you think about a clogged drain, it's not just one piece. It's rust and grime and dirt and da-da-da-da and all these things. And you didn't unclog it. You didn't get to it sooner. So that's why everything backs up. And we need to create a society where people's voices are heard and people feel safe to express their anger, their pain, their sad, everything, everything. And if you want a great job, just to bring back to getting a job, you want to be in a company that values all that, that values all of you. Your passion, I mean, for God's sakes, you know, I always say this in feminism, but like the guy can flip over the table and they go, he's passionate. The woman can say, can you please put the table back? And she's aggressive. It's just bullshit. And one of the things that I was great at, I think, is going flip the table over, you know, flip the table over before he does, if you need to. Be you, be authentic, be true. And I think about that in interviews and in life. If you are 100% you and someone hates you for it or doesn't like you for it and you're trying to be a good, the best version of you you can be, great. The less time you're spending with that individual or in that job. I do think, I really believe, I said this at the Los Angeles Leadership Summit I spoke at a few years ago, and it was in the room. So by the way, I forgot the part where I tried to take the bar exam in California and came within 50 points of passing it and didn't pass it because my hand clenched up so tightly that I couldn't write anymore. So I didn't write like the last, whatever it was, you know, 20 minutes of the test. And here's the thing, best cramp I've ever got. Because I do believe that succeeding in what you are not meant to do may be your greatest failure. And failing in what you may, what you're not meant to do may be your greatest success. And the more you're you, the more you access all of you, the more you have access to all of you, the more you're going to fail at the things you're not meant to do, and the more you're going to succeed on the ones you are. Because you, we all have to make an impact, I believe, in the ways that we can. You want to be in the job, or you want to find your role in society where you can make that impact. Then lastly, because I've been thinking a lot about this idea of builder, don't look at these protesters and go, look at them tearing down. I see them as building up. You're building, thank you for rebuilding the society, because it tried for 400 years to oppress. It is time to get rid of oppression and get the builders back. And sometimes you got to tear down an old building to build up a new one. That's okay. Thank God.
Yeah. And I think the important thing is just this action, this idea of you can have a vision, but you have to take action on it. And that's what was missing, as well as this accountability. Yes, you know, there is going to be a breaking down of old systems, as we already began to see with the pandemic. And now, you know, we're seeing breaking down of other systems. Anything that no longer serves us is now falling to the wayside. Authenticity is emerging, and we get to be accountable, though, in taking action in rebuilding what we want rather than complaining about what we don't want.
I love that word, action. I think that is it. And I think the more we can take action, the more you are going to see change. The problem with action historically, it, for individuals in all arenas, especially, and historically, I mean, even as for our history, us as children, we get taught things early on and we're told they'll never change. It's who you are. It's how things are. The world, there's so many quotes coming out these days, but if you look at history, it's always changes young people because they're too damn young to think things can't be different. Every person who shifted the society started it when they were young. They might have done it when they were older, but they started it when they were young. And that's because, you know, one of the favorite things I actually thought about was Sarah Silverman. She had a great thing about feminism. She goes, don't go up to little girls and say, you can be anything you want, because it had never occurred to them they couldn't. You know, I just love that. That's the truth. That's where the perceived blocks, the false narrative that we put on people, that they don't put on themselves. There are real blocks once again. And we sometimes need a battering ram of force and community to break those down. The least we can do for ourselves is remove the blocks we put on ourselves. The least we can do is do that for ourselves, because in doing that, we will be able to access how we can impact others. And God help us. There are so many blockers in this world. So many people put up roadblocks after roadblocks after roadblocks. And it gets exhausting trying to break through things with a hammer. And I don't know, unblocking yourself is just like creating the world's greatest hammer. Just going, you know what? Put them all in front of me and knock them all down. I'm going to get to exactly where I'm meant to be.
Exactly, Brandon. And what I will close with and leave everybody with today is that one thing I was taught by one of my teachers is make a list today of three things that you're personally blocked by, perceived blockages, and then work on those things one at a time. What I loved that I heard somebody say recently is, if you work on one of those things that you're stopped by, you're forgiven on all the others. You actually get to like jump forward, kind of like time travel into the highest, best version of yourself. Because it's not easy. Like for me, mine is need for approval. I'm looking for approval or attention, and it literally blocks me. But the moment that I work on it, or I see it, or I go, gosh, where did I not seek approval today where I might have normally done it? Wow, that was a huge victory that I didn't fall into that trap. And to realize that that's what those are traps waiting to suck you up like quicksand and then take you right back to the beginning of where you started. But the moment you see the traps, you can start to jump over the traps. And then eventually there's a bridge that gets built over the traps for you. And then you move on to the next thing. And that's where miracles start to happen.
I love that idea of a bridge. I'm reminded of two things for sort of takeaways. One is that idea of a bridge, that the old adage of there's a person who comes to a river and crosses quickly, and the person next to them keeps walking and the other person starts building a bridge. And they say, why? We've already crossed the river. We won't come this way again. And the person says, I'm not building the bridge for us. I'm building the bridge for the person where the river might be going faster in my stead. Just because it was easy for me doesn't mean it's going to be easy for them. Let me do this for them. God, if everyone in the world took time, if it was easy for them to build the bridge back so it's easier for someone else, everyone would be getting further in this world together. That is one. For the individuals who really are thinking about, how do I unblock in my life? One thing that I think is hard is the more we take with us that baggage, that garbage you mentioned, but also the more the garbage that comes in these days, news, what have you, the more sometimes we're not even angry. Sometimes we're just depressed. And I love this idea of depression being, it's not anger. It's the absence of any emotion. We don't feel. And one of the reasons getting unblocked is so hard and so scary is that when you do it, you're going to feel it all. You're going to feel anger. You're going to feel happiness. You're going to feel guilt and all the emotions. And you get a choice in your life. Do you want to feel nothing? Or do you want to try to feel everything? And if you feel everything and you share that in a great interview, go to the company that wants all of you, not a piece of you, not the numbness, but all of you. That's the company that needs you. And that's a company that will change because you're there.
Yeah. Beautiful, Brandon. I mean, you are just such an inspiration, my friend. I love our conversations, and I wish you and I could just chat all day, every day, and record, because I feel like every time we talk, we just are meeting of the minds. And I love how we both just push each other to think differently. And I think that's what it's about, is we can build or we can destroy with our words. And even though we've talked about controversial, heavy things today, I feel like we've been building or rebuilding with what we've been sharing. And I just love you as a friend. And I'm so thankful to have you in my life. And I'm so thankful for everybody who tuned in today, who got to share and the magic and the wisdom that is Brandon Maslin and his coaching. He is just an extraordinary human being, and incredible father and husband, and, you know, just an incredible human. So thank you for being the human that you are, Brandon.
I talk, but I might cry. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you. You bring forth my vulnerability and truth, and you help others move forward to where they're meant to be, Jay. And I don't think you talk about gifts. That's one of the greatest ones you can give anyone. Thank you for giving it to me, and thank you for giving it to others. I so value you.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody who stayed with us for this conversation, as much or as little of it as you were able to be with. I acknowledge you. I know it's not easy to have these conversations, to be with these conversations, and to listen to these conversations. So if you have feedback, give it to us, please. You know, this episode is aired here on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page. Please feel free to go back and leave comments there that Brandon or I can respond to. If you want to leave us comments on the iTunes page of Get Yourself the Job, we'll respond there, or on the Facebook page. This is meant to be a dialogue, not a monologue. So please share your feedback with us. It matters. This, your voice needs to be heard. So thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you to everybody at LA Talk Radio. And thank you for the people who are willing to be change makers. Thank you.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.